A pair of Wisconsin school districts have received state awards for excellence from the State Department of Education.
Little Chute High School in Outagamie County and Moundview Elementary in Dunn County are being recognized for their use of data to help students succeed.
We're talking to counselors at those schools to learn more.
Michelle McCritsky and Lisa Gretz are high school counselors for the Little Chute Area School District. They talked to Rob Ferret last week.
Michelle, let's start with you and your role there at Little Chute High School. You've got two counselors. Can you talk about your partnership with Lisa and the rest of the staff there to provide the help the students need?
Sure. So Little Chute High School is about a school of about 500 students. Lisa and I divide up our students by alphabet, and I have the last part of the alphabet. So I work with students M through Z. I work with them from freshman through senior year. Lisa and I both do everything for all of our students in our alphabet, from scheduling to working with students in groups to individualized counseling. We do it all.
And Lisa, what do you see as the most important skills or maybe just personality traits to be a good high school counselor?
I think it's really important to be a good communicator. We collaborate and talk with teachers, administrators, families, students. So be able to get a message across and build a relationship with students.
And Lisa, we've got this award of excellence from the State Department of Education. They're talking about how you use data to help counsel students. What does that look like? What kind of things are you doing there?
So we are looking at, over the past couple of years, our math program. And we had students that were not being successful in their early years in high school. So we were looking at why that was and how we could help. So we collected data based on grades, attendance, services that were being offered, and found that we were missing a part that could help some students be more successful. So we were able to create some new classes and some new interventions so that more students could be successful at the early stages of math.
And Michelle, what are some of the things, the data flags that you started seeing that say, hey, this student might need this extra intervention?
Well, we were looking at their STAR math scores to kind of determine which students would be the best fit for particular classes and what would be the best class for them as they come into high school, whether it's getting an extra class to help them with math or just being in a totally different math class completely. Every student needs 3 credits of math to graduate high school. So we just wanted to make sure that students were coming in and being placed appropriately so they weren't reaching that level of frustration right from the beginning.
What kind of communication, what kind of teamwork are you doing with the student and their parents or guardians?
So we meet with students individually to talk about what classes are appropriate. We have parent meetings as well. We also are meeting with case managers and their teachers. So we meet with their teachers coming in when they're 8th graders to make sure that this is the right fit for a 9th grade class and what interventions might they need in 9th grade to be successful.
And then, Lisa, how do you measure the success? You're a couple years in on this. How are you measuring how well this is working and will work out into the future?
Well, as Michelle mentioned, we look at the STAR scores. So we set a before and after goal. If our students are reaching that goal, we find that that is a good measure of success. We're also looking year to year and semester to semester at passing grades. Are they reaching their benchmarks? Are they mastering the standards and reaching the goals that teachers have for them as well?
If other schools are seeing this award and thinking, hey, how can we do this? What would you suggest to counselors and other staff at other high schools around the state?
This was a process that took about 4 years for us to go through. So it's definitely a lengthy process, but I feel like it's so worth it. It really made us really dig into our program and make sure that we're providing the best services that we can for our students and that we are doing all the things that we should be doing as school counselors and that we really truly are offering a comprehensive school counseling model.
Lisa, that mention of 4 years ago makes me think, okay, so you're in the midst of COVID as you're starting this process and the disruptions at schools. How much did that affect students' progress on math, their ability to fit in with the class that they might be expected to fit into?
I feel like there were probably some learning gaps coming in for students because there was a little bit of a disconnect. Although Little Chute was very fortunate to come back to school. We sent them home in March, but in the fall, we were able to come back to school 2 days a week. A lot of schools weren't going to school at all, where we stayed here 2 days a week so that we could be connected to our students. For some students, there was a little bit of a gap, and teachers were, you know, trying to fill those gaps, fill those voids. I think it impacted all students in various ways. But I feel like having been in school 2 days a week was super helpful and instrumental in our kids being able to continue to have a level of success.
I'll leave it there. Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Michelle, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
That was Michelle McCritsky and Lisa Gretz, high school counselors for the Little Chute Area School District in Outagamie County. We're talking about two school counseling programs recently recognized by the state for excellence. Joining us now from Western Wisconsin is Bobby Phillips, elementary school counselor for the Elk Mound School District. Bobby, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Now, we've got this award from the state recognizing you for how you use student data. So what kind of things are we talking about? What kind of data are we looking at to see the needs of the kids there?
Right. So first of all, this award was an amazing opportunity to showcase what our school and our district is doing. And so what we're trying to do is look at the data that we collect, whether that is our attendance, our incidents, in our behaviors, and we're trying to look for targeted interventions that we can do based on that data. So whether that's an attendance group in the morning or working on some skills or reteaching some skills for the kids with behavior issues to try to get them back on par with everyone else.
So what are some of the flags you're looking for, the ones that say, hey, we're going through here, these are some kids who need some extra interventions right now?
We have a collaborative data team that meets every 2 weeks, which we go over students which we think are having issues or that are flagged by the data. And then we look at what interventions we can do. So whether that is pulling them out to work one-on-one with a skill set or a small group, and our attendance kids, we're looking at, you know, how we can make those connections with the kids, but not only the kids, but with the parents also.
How do you work when you have that starting point to tailor those interventions to meet the needs of that kid and their family?
Yeah, it's important that we look at the whole picture. And so we actually look at three data points, and that could be our mental health screener, it could be attendance, it could be incidents. And so we're really trying to get a clear picture of what's going on. And so then when we meet with our collaborative team, when we have teachers from every grade level, we can look through and see maybe there's something going on at home, or maybe they're struggling in math. We try to get a really clear picture so we can tailor those interventions to those students.
And I imagine part of the goal here is to tackle things early, right? Not to wait for that failing grade on the end of the semester report card, for example, but to be on top of things early.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why we look at the targeted interventions. Like, we're looking at where the area of need is and what we can do. And sometimes it's not the biggest things we do, it's the little things we do. For example, my attendance groups in the morning, it's just making that connection. They have a place to look forward to coming to. We hang out, we talk, we make those connections, and they feel strongly about coming to school. The parent phone calls I make home to educate parents about attendance policies and issues, and just know that we're there for them, that we are a team working together to try to make all students successful.
Bobby, I understand you're the only counselor at a whole school of elementary school kids. Are you spread pretty thin?
Yes. The short answer is yes. There's a lot of different things that come up. There's a lot of different areas that were coming up. And with the data showing places where we need to put more time into, the nice thing about us is that we do have a collaborative team here between the school counselors, the administrator, our school success coordinator. So we all get together with the administrative team. We get together once a month, but the counselors and the school success coordinator and our school psychologist, we get together every week. Even though I'm alone in the school, I have people to talk to and run things by and get help if I need help. So it really is a team approach.
I was just curious about the impact of COVID, right? We know that disrupted schools in many ways, and students and teachers and counselors, I imagine. Are we back to, I'll throw it in quotes, normal? Or are you still feeling like that something's different now?
I still feel like something's different. I don't know if we'll ever get back to normal. I think the way that we educate students is different. I mean, the technology stepped in during COVID, and that's still being in use. I think Students' behaviors are different than what they used to be. I think behavior incidents are up. And I think, you know, just the accountability piece of what we're doing with the data helps us keep driving this forward and keep trying new things and looking at new interventions that we can use with kids. And I think we're trying to get on top of it, but I don't think we're quite there yet.
Bobby, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for your time.
And that is Elk Mound Area School District Elementary School Counselor Bobby Phillips. And earlier we heard from Michelle Mokritsky and Lisa Gretz. They are high school counselors in the Little Chute Area School District. They talked with Rob Ferret.
Well, are your brackets all filled out?
Sending that to the university?
Yeah, I'm just asking. March Madness is now underway with the first games of the men's college basketball tournament last night and the women's tournament tipping off tonight.
You know, it's no fun if you don't pick a few upsets and root for the underdogs.
Like, say, the 12th-seeded UW-Green Bay women's team who we spoke with yesterday?
Indeed, or the gold medal USA hockey team in the 1980 Miracle on Ice, or way back when the 1969 World Series winning Miracle Mets.
It may take a miracle. In the end, it can certainly feel like some sort of divine intervention. So we ask you, what are your most unforgettable upsets and who are your most memorable underdogs? Let us know. Email WisconsinToday at WPR.org or you can call or text us at 888-642-0232. That's 888-642-0232.
Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Lee Rayburn. You're listening to WPR News.